Needs a Bible just to follow along, feel free to raise your hand. Brian will get your Bible if you want to follow along the verses. We flip to some verses here. Are we good, Matt? All right. So thankful to our musicians, thankful to our sound crew. Obviously, Josh is a little predisposed today. I'm going to ask you if you have your Bible. If you need a Bible, raise a hand. Brian will get you one. If you don't own one, that's yours to keep right there, Brother Brian, right? If you need a Bible, you could keep one. Also, even if you're not a first-time visitor and you're interested in Brother Dave's book, I got about seven of them or five of them, however, two left. Okay, so one left. All right, doing one. All right. So get them while you can, all right? All right, and I could try preaching this message sounding like Brother Dave, but I wouldn't be able to get very far. Probably mess my voice up. So I'm going to ask you to open in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, and I think the Lord has something for us today. Genesis chapter 2. You know, they always say that you need to be ready to, at any moment, to preach, pray, or die. I didn't know I was going to have to take that literally today, but it's all good. It's all good. Genesis chapter 2. My voice cracked. I'm so nervous. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. I told Stephen about in November when we were a little under the weather. I called him at 7:30 in the morning to say, you need to preach today. But so I guess this is some strange retribution for that, but it's all good. I feel peace. I'm happy. I'm not happy about it, but this is the way it is, right? It's the way it is. But Genesis chapter 2. Here's what I want to say, that your life, and we say this a lot at youth camps, so some of the guys that have been to youth camp have heard this come out of people's mouths, but your life today is nothing more than a series of choices. It is the culmination of the choices you have made or refused to make. And you got to think about the big picture, ladies and gentlemen. The big picture is there is this big thing out there called eternity. That it's a long time. Long time. And we're in this little thing called time, which is an itty-bitty little short time. It would be like me writing a little dot on the floor. And in this grand auditorium, that little dot on the floor is what time is in light of eternity. Think of your life as a little parenthesis in a much bigger plan that God has for all of eternity. And you know what? What you do in this little dot, in this little parenthesis, affects all of eternity. The choices you make affect everything. What you do in this little speck, this little vapor, this little brief thing called life affects the rest of eternity for you. And it's all about your choice. It's all about your choice. If you look with me in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15, the Bible says, it's speaking about the Garden of Eden. It's speaking about paradise. It's speaking about Adam being in this perfect environment. And the Bible says, and the Lord God took the man, meaning Adam, and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Say, why did God do that? Why did God have to put that thing there and put that condition there? Because God put man in paradise in a perfect situation with a perfect occupation, and he gave us, ready, free will. Amen. He gave us a choice. He said, I'm not forcing you to follow me. I'm not forcing you to love me. I'm not forcing you to obey me. I'm putting this other tree there so you know you have a choice. You can choose to follow my ways and be blessed, or you could choose the knowledge of good and evil and face the ramifications. Ladies and gentlemen, we all have a choice. Don't let the devil deceive you that you don't have a choice. You are never too far gone to choose right. Everything is about your choice and your power to choose. Only the devil would try to trick you into thinking you don't have free will. Only a religious system so foolish to convince you that there's no such thing as free will. It's absolutely foolish. Everything about your life is about your choice. I like the movie Gladiator. Any movie where guys are fighting and like swinging swords around and throwing axes at stuff is my kind of movie, right? I kind of like that stuff. And in Gladiator, Russell Crowe's character makes a great statement. What we do in life echoes in eternity. And that's the truth. What you do, the choices you make are going to affect everything else outside this tiny little vapor, this tiny little parenthesis. So what I want to look today is we're not going to be in Genesis 2. We're going to be in Genesis 4. And what I want to look today is two men. I want to look at this man called Cain. I'm going to focus on him a lot. And I want to look at a man called Abel. And what I want you to see is three things today. I want you to see their offering. I want you to see God's offer. And I want you to see the offshoot of what happens when they choose one or the other. The lesson today is the choice is yours. The lesson today is the choice is yours. The choice is yours, brethren. The choice is yours. And we're going to look at these two men, and we're going to see. And I'm not going to ignore, is that Charlie Jenkins in the back over there? That's Charlie Jenkins. Dr. Jenkins, wave your hand, Dr. Jenkins. Hello, Charlie. Great to see you, man. Great to see you. A good friend of ours, Charlie Jenkins. He didn't slip in. All right, so let's have a word of prayer, and we'll jump in here. The choice is yours. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, you know everything that was going to happen. You know the beginning from the ending from the beginning. Lord, I just fall at your feet, Lord, and pray you'd be able to give these people something. If someone's lost here today and doesn't know Jesus Christ as his or her personal Savior, I pray they choose to take the payment you made for their sins on the cross. And if there's a Christian here today, and I assume, Lord, and I suspect there's many that know you, I pray they'd make the choice to do things your way and stop doing things their way, that you might be blessed and their lives might be a testimony of your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Genesis chapter 4, we're going to read verses 1 to 5. And the first thing I want you to see is in this story, this account, rather, of Cain and Abel, we see man's offering to God. Man's offering to God. Genesis chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, 'I have gotten a man from the Lord.' And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell." What you see right here are two offerings. And in these two offerings, ladies and gentlemen, are two ways to God. And everybody on planet Earth is going one of these two ways. Everybody on planet Earth. I don't care if you're an atheist. I don't care what ism you put after your name. You call yourself Christian. You call yourself Buddhist. You call yourself non-practicing. Wherever you are today and whatever you are today, everybody here is either one of these two men. You're either going the way of self-righteousness or you're going the way of the Savior. Everybody here is doing it. I don't care who you are. You could try to outsmart it, but when you try to outsmart it, you're still just going the way of Cain. Everybody here is following one of these two ways to God. Let me show you Cain's way. Cain's way represents man's way, our way, the way of self-righteousness, the way of, look at my turnips. Look at these radishes. Check out, you know, this watermelon over here. He is the way of, look at the fruit of my hands. Look at verse number 3. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. That is the way of self-righteousness. That is the way all about me. Look what I did. Look what I made. Look what I think. Look what I'm about. Do you hear that at all out there? I think that's like the social media anthem right there. Look at me. Look what I did. I'm eating a sandwich at 11:03. I'm going to the bathroom at 11:10. Right? Fantastic. I'm very happy for you. But everything out there, the way of self-righteousness is all about me. And it trickles into the religious sphere. If I said, why should God forgive you? Why should I let you into heaven? Why are you worthy of his kingdom? Look what I did. Look where I go. Look at the letters after my name. Look at the things I've done, the pilgrimages I've made, the money I've given. That is the way of Cain. That is the way of self-righteousness. And you know what the problem is? Look at chapter 3, verse number 19. Look at chapter 3, verse number 19. You know why that's a problem? Genesis 3:19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. Oh no, I want verse 17. I'm sorry, 17. See the middle of the verse? The middle of the verse, he says, cursed is the ground for thy sake. You know what is the problem with bringing that self-righteous offering? It's cursed. It comes from a cursed ground. Right, it comes from a... What would you think if a guy had the Ebola virus? Now, that's really a killer. If he had the Ebola virus and he cooked you a steak dinner and he comes out with the blood running out of his eyes and his fingers and all messed up and he comes out and says, look what I made for you. You want it? Right, you'd be like, you'd be skeeved out. You'd be freaked out. You say, I don't want to touch anything that you've just offered because you know why? It's coming from something that's sick. It's coming from something that's broken. It's coming from something that's riddled with disease. And all the stuff we do and all the stuff we try to do in our own strength from the ground and we're taken from that ground, guess what? It's cursed. It's tainted. It's riddled with sin. It's like eating a steak dinner that was put forth by somebody with Ebola. I don't know if anybody would take it. That's one way. I don't know if that's the way you're going. I'm not going to do a show of hands just yet. But if you look at verse number 4, here's the other way. This is the way of the Savior. Verse 4. And Abel, chapter 4, verse 4. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. You see, the first offering was rejected. The first is always rejected. Your first birth is rejected. God doesn't accept it. The second is established. Your second birth is accepted. And what Abel brings here, you know what he brings? He brings a sacrifice. He brings an offering of blood. Something had to give its life to atone before a holy God. It's a difference. It's not, look what I did. It's look what this lamb did. It's not like, look what I made. It's look at the offering this poor innocent made. And that's a big, big difference. That's not the way of self-righteousness. That's the way of the Savior. The way of the Savior is sacrifice. Which way are you going? You're all going on one of two roads. You're going to pull out of this parking lot. Some of you are going to make a left. Some of you are going to make a right. But you're all going in one direction on that road out there called Lloyd Road. Well, everybody's taking a direction to God. I'll get to it later. But you're all on a crash course with him. You're all going to see him someday. You're either going to see him and face the judgment of your self-righteousness and your scorning of what he did for you, or you're going to enter into the joy that he has for you because you've walked the path of the Savior and you've taken his way. Which way are you going? If you look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, I want to say something about Cain's way. Cain's way was rejected. I'll look at 4:5 again. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. It was rejected. Why was it rejected? He should have known it was going to be rejected. Right? Look back what his forefathers had experienced. Look at Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. It says that when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, oh, it would fill her belly. And we're so motivated. We'll throw God overboard for some momentary pleasure. I just want to feel good. I just want to enjoy this. I just want to have that. That's Adam and Eve. Just throw it overboard. The eternal God. But I want to have this little dot. Okay? It's good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes. I know Jesus Christ died on the cross, but look at this. Look at her. Look at him. Look at me. Look at these, right? All that stuff that we're all about. I ain't got nothing to show. It's like a flea bit, a piece of spaghetti. I don't know what it is, but anyway, right? Keep going. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. God says, I'll give you out of the Lord giveth wisdom, Proverbs 2:6. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. What do you want to know about today? You want to know about marriage? You want to know about being a good worker? You want to know about being a good citizen? You want to know how to overcome those habits? You want to know how to rise above the dreck? God says, I'll make you wise. But the devil's like, but he didn't tell you this. Did he tell you this? See how he works? He's always trying to make you trade the eternal for the momentary, for the immediate. And you keep reading and it says, she took, doesn't look like she put up too much of a fight. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open and neither they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves. Watch that. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard, this is great. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. He knew they had sinned and he was there anyway to see them. What a God, what a God. And it says, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? I just love that scene. I wish I saw that scene. Could you see that scene? Adam and Eve in the corner over there, hiding behind the fig leaf bikini, and God's got to walk out there. He sees everything. He sees everyone. And he's got to play like, Adam, where are you? Like, I don't see you shaking over there like a leaf. All right, I see you, right? I think it was less about where are you, Adam, and where are you, Adam? Like, where are you spiritually, Adam? Like, what are you doing, you know? And you know what they found out? The fig leaves could never appease God. And the fig leaf, the fig tree, is a tree of self-righteousness. It's the tree that we grab from when we try to cover ourselves and say, God, look, I'm good, right? I'm covered. God says, would you take that off? You look ridiculous. Go to Matthew 21. Let me show you what God thinks. Matthew 21. Let me get you flipping a little bit here. Pray for me. Matthew 21. We flip it a few verses here. The choice is yours, brethren. The choice is yours. Matthew 21. Look down at verse number 19. Matthew 21, verse number 19. Matthew 21, verse number 19. The Bible says, and when he, meaning Jesus, saw a fig tree, that's Jesus who showed up in the garden. That was Jesus who had seen Adam and Eve hiding behind the fig leaf bikini. That's who it was. And when he saw the fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. You see what Jesus Christ feels about the fig tree? There's no fruit. There's nothing I want there. It just withers in the presence of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ showed up in the Garden of Eden and they're hanging behind that fig tree, guess what? Those fig leaves just withered and fell off them. They must have looked so foolish because your self-righteousness looks like nothing next to Jesus Christ. You take the greatest man or woman that ever lived, they can't hold a candle to my Savior. They can't hold the greatest minds out there. I challenge the greatest minds. Just make me a grain of sand. You make me a grain of sand, maybe I'll worship you. But the greatest people out there, they can't even make a grain of sand. The greatest minds out there, all the ingenuity, all the technology, all the effort, they haven't been able to stop the number one killer out there. You know what the number one killer out there is? Death. 10 out of 10 people die. It's the number one killer. It's the number one statistic. And nobody's been able to stop that. But one man, Jesus Christ, was able to rise again from the dead and stand victorious over death. The Bible says he abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You say, well, my grandmother's really kind. You want kindness? How about somebody that would forgive his enemies? Right? You mess with my kids, it's going to take a while for me to forgive and forget. I'm going to scratch you. I mean, I'm going to fight you. I mean, if they do something wrong, I'm going to take care of them. But if you just, you pick a fight with my kids, you picked a fight with me. And the Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And the father watched that. And when the father probably had the angels like this, no, stay back, guys, stay back, stay back. We got to do the angels. We're probably ready to come over the bowels of heaven and come down there because that was their captain. That was their leader. That was their Lord. That was the one they had worshipped since eternity, since the creation, rather. You know what? He says, hold them back, hold back. Michael, keep them back. He's got to die. And he sits up there and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You're going to tell me that $5 you gave to the Make-A-Wish Foundation holds a candle next to that kind of generosity and that kind of benevolence and that kind of love? For God so loved the world, the ones who killed him, the ones who ripped out his beard, the ones who mocked and jeered and gambled his clothes away while he hung there naked. And you're going to stand in front of God the Father and say, what do you think of these asparagus? Amen. Which way are you going, man? Let's be real, can you? Can we just be real? Can we just be, right? I don't know what the word is now. Legit, facts. I don't know what the thing is, hashtag. I don't know what it is, but can we just kind of be straight here? Can we just be honest? Let's not be crazy. They should have known, because I'm sure Adam and Eve had told Cain and Abel, hey, Dad, hey, Mom, why you walk around with that skin? Why do you wear that clothing? Well, son, we tried to cover ourselves with the fig leaves and God rejected it. I'm sure they knew. But Cain, he went the way of self-righteousness anyway. And it withered and it failed. And you could try to cover yourself and you could try so hard. You could be sitting here now and going, I'll show Pat. I'll show that preacher. I'll show that Bible. I'm going to walk out of here. I'm going to do it my way. It's going to be fine. I'm going to be like Frank Sinatra. He did it my way. That was my dad's song. You know how that song haunts me? That was my dad's big song. I don't know if my dad's in heaven or hell today, but that was his song. The record shows I took the blows. Yeah, you'll go to hell singing that song. Gotta do it his way. Not because he's this maniacal monster. I want to see you bow to me. No, because he's like, you're about to jump off the roof, and if you ignore the law of gravity, you're gonna bust your head. So I want you to kind of just understand where I'm coming from. Cain should have known it, but he didn't. Now go back to Genesis chapter 3, please. And Cain had a choice, guys. How are we doing so far, okay? Cain had a choice. And you have a choice. Genesis chapter 4, look at verse number 4. Cain knew, right? Look at that. He's watching and it says, hey, God respected Abel's offering. Now, if I was in my class and a student handed in a paper and they said they did it all wrong, and I say, well, this one did it right, you know what the smart thing to do would be like? That person did it right. Let me go find out how that person did it, and let me see what they did it right, that earned them the A. It wouldn't be like, no, I want to spell words wrong. No, I want to make my sentences fragments. No, I want to use comma splices. Oh, anyway. But that's what Cain did. Cain watches God acknowledge and accept Abel's sacrifice. Genesis 4:4, and Abel, right, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Go to Genesis chapter 3, verse number 21. He should have known. Cain should have known. Because back there in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were finished kind of taking the fig leaves off of themselves, it says in Genesis 3:21, unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. They learned back in the garden that only the shed blood of an innocent would cover their sin. That you couldn't do it your way, you had to do it God's way. And that sin has a consequence. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That is a universal constant. You cannot break that law. Somebody has to pay the price. And God was teaching them way back from the beginning. You see this little lamb? This lamb is going to die, and I'm going to take the skins of that lamb to cover you, Adam, and cover you, Eve. And I don't know about you, but if I saw God save me, I would be passing that on to my kindred. I'd be passing that on to my kin. Anybody here with saved kids or grandkids, I'm sure at some point you've told them the story of Jesus Christ, or wanted to tell them the story, or looked for an opportunity to tell them the story of Jesus Christ. You say, what did they kill back there? Proverbs 27:26 says, the lambs or for thy clothing. And I would put all my money right on that chip right there and let it ride that God slew a lamb and clothed Adam and Eve, looking ahead to the day when the Lamb of God would come and take away the sin of the world. That was God's way. That was the way of the Savior. You know what Jesus said? Go to Proverbs chapter 14, please. Go to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Look at verse number 12. Brethren, and if you're not saved, honored guest, there's only one right way, and there's a lot of wrong ways. That's the way it is. Which way are you going? You know what Jesus said, one of the most famous verses in all the Bible? John 14:6, Jesus made this great statement. Thomas was like, Lord, you know, all the disciples were there said, you know, we don't know where you're going, Jesus. And how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's not just a salvation verse. That's a for everything verse. Jesus Christ is the way. I want to be a better dad. I am the way. I want to be a better American. I am the way. I want to be a better husband. I am the way. I want to be a better wife. I am the way. I want to be a better friend. I am the way. You get close to the power source and you'll have power for everything you need. Jesus is the way. But in Proverbs 14, verse 12, look what the Bible says. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways, plural, of death. I don't think Cain was trying to stick it to God. I thought Cain, in his self-righteousness, thought, well, I'm doing the best I can, God. Why you got beef with my tomatoes? He said, it looks right to you, but it's not right. And he pointed out, he said, look, I need the shed blood of an innocent. That's where the choice comes in. That's where the moment is. When you see that there's one right way and a whole kind of wrong ways. Now, I said this yesterday in Discipleship 2. So if you were in Discipleship 2 yesterday, I know you're getting a little double dip, but I'm, you know, just bear a little with me in my folly. But you know what? No matter what they tell you, 2 + 2 still equals 4. I don't think it's racist to say 2 + 2 = 4, right? If I have 2 water bottles and you give me 2 more water bottles, I have 4 water bottles, right? Very good class. You've just passed basic fundamental math. They're trying to say now that this desire for a right answer is racist. That to me is like you're huffing something with airplane glue. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what you're thinking. I don't know what you're tapping, what chronic you're smoking, what it is. I don't know what's going on, what leaves you have growing in your backyard that you're rolling and puff, puff giving. I don't know what's going on, but that is crazy talk, right? There is one right answer to 2 + 2 = 4. It's 4. But there's a lot of wrong answers. We could sit here all day and make up wrong answers. 5, 100, -1, 0.06. You know, we just go on and on and on and on and on and on. And that's what life is like. There are a myriad of wrong answers, but there's one right answer. And the fact that there's all those wrong answers and one right answer should make you turn to God. So that was man's offering to God. Can you go back to Genesis? I promise my other points aren't as long, I think, right? Genesis 4. I want you to, you saw man's offering. I want you to see now, I want you to check out God's offer to man. Right? Genesis 4, verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. I want you to notice that even though Cain made a mistake, Cain still had a choice. God gave Cain a choice. He said, Cain, you brought the wrong offering, but if you do it God's way, you'll be blessed. If you want to keep doing it your way, you're going to face the consequences. He gave him a choice. It's always a choice, beloved. It's always a choice. You are never too far gone. If you're breathing here today by the grace of God, you've got the choice to do it God's way. Even if you've done it your way, the wrong way, 100 times out of 100 before, the 101st time could be you doing it the right way. We have testimony to it today. No matter how long you've gone in a sin or a problem and a fault, right, brother, right, sister, if you choose the right way, there is always something that you can do to choose God. Wherever you are this morning, there is always something you can do to choose God. Do it God's way or not. You got that nail you're trying to drive into that piece of wood? You could do it with a screwdriver. You could sit there and bust your hump trying to drive that nail in with a screwdriver. Or you could find yourself a hammer and do it the right way. Right? So when you're sitting there, oh, life is so tough, this is so hard, and you're trying to drive a nail with a screwdriver, I might say, why don't you try using a hammer? How dare you talk to me like that? You're so full of hate. Like, really? You're trying to drive a nail in with a screwdriver, sir. You're trying to drive a nail in with a screwdriver, ma'am. Here's a hammer. Get that away from me. You're so bigoted. You're so hateful and narrow-minded. Really? I just want you to see what life is all about so this thing comes together and doesn't fall apart on you. I'm just fine. That was Cain, the way of self-righteousness. And all throughout the Bible, God gives man a choice, like he gives you a choice. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let me show you some verses about God giving man a choice. Deuteronomy chapter 30, look at verse number 15. Deuteronomy 30, verse number 15. This is God speaking to his own people. This is God speaking to a bunch of people that were on the brink of paradise, on the brink, rather, of the promised land. They're right there. And he says to them in verse 15, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. And other gods don't have to be wood and stone. It could be sex and joy and pleasure and self. There's plenty of gods, money and power and prestige. There's plenty of gods out there. And serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou go passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. You know what God is saying to his people? Choose, choose, choose. Here are the options. My way or the hard way, the way of life or the way of death, the way of blessing, the way of cursing, the way of joy and peace and bliss, the way of agony, hardship, and terror. Choose, choose, choose. I set them right before you. You've got free will. Choose, choose, choose. You understand, your choice doesn't change God. God's going to be God forever. God's going to be holy and righteous and pure. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. He doesn't get more money in his bank account when you choose him. When you choose him, it's not like pretending the tooth fairy exists and all of a sudden, you know, you keep him alive because I've got to maintain the illusion. If I break the illusion, then Santa doesn't come down the chimney. No, it's not like that. God will always be God. It's will you change? Will you be blessed? Will you have his goodness? Will you experience his peace? The choice is yours. God has put them before you in all things, family, friends, in every activity. You could choose God's way or you could choose your own way. Go to Joshua 24. Joshua 24. Those people were on the brink of the promised land. And brethren, you and I are on the brink of heaven. We are on the brink of heaven. The Bible says there's but a step between me and death. At any moment, you don't know, the trumpet could sound or something can happen and we could face eternity. And the choices you make now affect that forever. So God's just lovingly saying, choose wisely. And in Joshua 24, it's now Joshua, Moses' protege, and he says this. He says in Joshua 24:15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, meaning Egypt, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He's saying, you can't have it both ways. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't have your Jesus Sunday and then go live like a hog for the rest of the life. He's saying, make a choice. You're either going to hate the one and love the other. You're going to cleave to the one or avoid the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And Joshua just puts it on him. He's old there, Joshua. He's been around a long time. He's fought all the battles. He says, you guys can choose. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And brethren, that's a choice you got to make. I hopefully I've made it. Have you made it? You guys do whatever you want to do. You want to come back next week? That's fine. You don't want to come back next week? That's okay too. Doesn't affect me. Doesn't affect God. But you know what? As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to keep on keeping on. We're going to keep holding forth the word of life. If it's me and Brian standing on the corner, it'll be me and Brian standing on the corner. We're going to keep holding it forth. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep trucking. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is worthy. Jesus Christ is worthy. And if he's willing to hang on a cross for 6 hours for my rotten, dirty sins, the least I can give him is my little dot in light of eternity. And only an ingrate fool would not have that gratitude and thankfulness to a God that saved him from a devil's hell. Is that too hard for you? But that's the God's truth. I don't know how to convince people to serve God. You've got to choose. I can't dress them up. Well, if you follow God, you'll feel a sense of fulfillment because God will help you be the better you. And then when you be the better you, you'll walk around that sense of self-actualization. And when you achieve that level of self-actualization on, you know, Maslow's pyramid of needs, you'll feel your potential really ignited and you'll be the better you that God wanted you to be. I don't know if that'll do anything for you. You know what helps me? I was going to burn like a torch, and this man ran into the fire for me. I was going to die, and this man gave me life and is willing to give me life more abundantly. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's kind of like what floats my boat and gets me going. I know what I am. Do you know what you are? I know what I am without Jesus Christ. I'm a wretched, miserable sinner. I'm the chiefest of sinners in this place. But if that glorious Savior was willing to stoop and get his hands dirty for me, the least I could do is say, Lord, what can I do for you? Choose. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. You want to keep serving the pig pen? Enjoy it. Enjoy it. I'm not going to air condition the pig pen. I'm not going to say it's great and I feel so bad for you. You want to jump into the pig pen and wreck your life, you're going to face the wages of sin. Something's going to die. Your joy's going to die. Your happiness is going to die. Things are going to die. Things are going to wither and fail. The choice is yours. Go to 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm not trying to be as hard as Dave Spurgeon might have been. He might have been. He's all polished now. He might have been sweet and sugary. But 1 Kings 18. I don't know. I don't know how to dance out of all this up. The choice is yours. You just got to make the choice. 1 Kings chapter 18, you have these people in Israel are serving God in name only, but they're worshiping Baal in truth. And the prophet Elijah, we talked about him last week, he comes in there like a bat out of hell. And he says in 1 Kings 18, 21, the Lord says, Elijah says, and he answered, 21, I'm sorry, and Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. Hey, if God is God, do you believe God is God? Yes.
If God is God, we're not talking about an idea or a concept or an ideology or an ism. If the God of this Bible that has shown himself and proved himself true and all the prophecy of Scripture and all the archaeology of Scripture and all the consistency of Scripture and all the extra biblical witnesses of Scripture and all the scientific accuracy and foresight of Scripture, if that book that's come through on the money every time, anytime, you know what? You would do well to choose the winning numbers. And he's saying, if God's God, follow him. If you think the devil is God, then plunge head forth. But stop dancing on the fence. Stop playing this game like, I love Jesus, I love God. And then you walk out of here and you live like a pig. 24-8. God's saying, choose, choose, choose. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. You know why you got to choose people? Because the choice you make in this little thing called now impacts the hereafter. Amen. What you do in this little dot called now affects everything else. So God's real serious about the choice you make. In 100 years, how much of what you care about is going to matter? Yes, sir. Right? In 100 years, how much will it matter? Dare I say, 20 years. I mean, I don't know how long. But in light of everything forever, how much is that little dot, that little speck, how much is it really worth? And I'm not saying to quit your job, and I'm not saying to throw your car in the junk heap and give away your boat and stop going on vacation. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying let's get some perspective. And in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What you sow now will reap for eternity. The choices you make now will affect forever. You know, Pascal was a philosopher, French philosopher, I'm pretty sure, Blaise Pascal. And they talk about Pascal's wager. And Pascal's wager goes a little something like this. If God is real and the Bible is true, then you lose nothing, right? All right, if God is real and the Bible is true, you have everything to gain and nothing to lose. To the Christian, right? To the person that loves God. But you know what? If God is not real, and it's all just a bunch of fuddy-duddy, that was just some figment of somebody's imagination, you know what? You've still lost nothing. It's shown you how to have kindness to your fellow man. It's shown you how to have purpose to rise above the dreck. It's kept your life clean. It's kept your life safe. It's given you good, clean joy and fun and fellowship and purpose. Look, if the Bible's a bunch of fuddy-duddy, you've lost nothing. But if the Bible is true, the unbeliever has lost everything. That is Pascal's wager. And that is a bet I don't think you want to take. You know what God said in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10? He said to his people, prove me now. Prove me now. Prove me now. Put me to the test. Why don't you try this out? If you're not saved here today, I dare you. I double dare you to get, you know, confess your sin to God, ask that Jesus Christ to be your Savior and cleanse you by his blood. See if your life doesn't change. See if something doesn't change. And if you're a Christian sitting here today, I dare you, I double dare you to take some promise of that book and do it God's way and see if the Lord doesn't bless you and reward you. Not because you're looking to cheat him and get a blessing and squeeze it out of him, but you're just trying to honor him. See if he doesn't honor you for honoring him first. I dare you, I double dare you. Will you take up that bet? What did David say? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Would you take that bet? That's God's offer to you. He's seen your offerings and he makes you an offer. Choose. Sin is always a choice. He told Cain, it lies at the door. It's right there. You open the door or you can keep the door shut. It's your choice. It's your choice. It's your choice. And don't think you're going to stand in front of God and say, God, when I didn't know, I didn't understand, I didn't have a choice. God's going to say, come on now. Come on, man. Right? Finish with me in Genesis chapter 4. Well, not almost finished. We got a few more minutes left. Genesis chapter 4. So we saw man's offering to God, and we looked at God's offer to man. Let me just show you the offshoot of what man does with God's offer. Let me show you what Cain did. We know what Cain did. Cain got proud. God is like pleading with him, Cain. All you got to do is trust the sacrifice. All you got to do is take my way. You know what Cain does? Cain puffs up his feathers like a peacock, and he marches out of there, and he says, I'm done with church. I'm done with that Bible. I'm done with that preacher. I'm done with God. I'm done with Jesus. How dare he speak to me like that? How dare he offend me like that? How dare he talk to me like that? How dare he squeeze me like that? Who does he think he is? Blah, 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 blah. And he marches away out of the garden. Look at Genesis 4:16. Look at Cain's pride. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. You know what he did? He started running away from God. And that's what people do sometimes. We talked about the sword a few weeks ago. When you take out that sword, it divides some things. And some people it causes to draw nigh, and some people it just makes them run away. The same sun that melts the ice hardens the clay. Who will you be today? Will you be like Cain? Will the preaching of God's word and the message of God's salvation and the words of this blessed old book, will it cause you to draw nigh? Or will it cause you to run from the presence of the Lord? Not only running away from God, but running against God's will. Please notice that he ran east. He ran, it says, on the east of Eden. That is always against the direction of God. God always works east to west. His gospel went east to west. You walked into the tabernacle east to west. God always moves east to west. And he's going east. He's not only running away from God, he's running against God's purpose. He's running against God's ways. Will you really keep doing that? Will you really keep doing that? Silliness. Don't do that. The choice is yours, but choose wisely. And then look at verse 17. Look at Cain's, not only his pride, pride makes you do crazy things. Have your kids ever asked you this question? Daddy, the devil knows he's going to lose and he fights against God anyway? I say, yeah, because pride makes you do stupid things. Pride deceives you. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, he says in Jeremiah. Pride makes you think you're right and everybody else is wrong. You must be right. They've all got it wrong. You're going the right way and they just don't see it yet. And pride just makes you do foolish things. It makes the devil do foolish things. He knows the Bible. He knows he's done. He knows he's finished. But you know what that pride does? It makes his stone heart like an adamant stone, like a rock, and just stiffens him up like a rock. And he just goes on in what's doomed to fail. And that's what pride does to you. You just go against God, you go away from God, and if in your rational state, you would admit, is a course that is doomed to fail and end in destruction. But pride makes you go on in your blindness anyway. Sad, sad story. Choose wisely. The choice is yours. And finally, look at Cain's posterity. Look at Cain's posterity. Look at the legacy he leaves behind. In verse 17, it says, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he builded a city, called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. Look at Cain, building a city, building a place that has no room for God. That's what the city is, by the way. The first murderer built the first city. So if you're excited about the city, I like some grass and trees. I like a little space. Bible says, woe unto them that join house to house. You look at where most of the crimes are happening in our country. They're not happening out in the middle of, you know, tumbleweed. They're happening where sinful men are just crammed together with other sinful men, rubbing each other the wrong way, and their lusts just warring against each other, and the killing and the stabbing and the fighting and all that nasty stuff that happens. Why? Because you put too much sin in this bucket together, you get a reaction. God says, you need a little space. You guys are sinful. You need a little room between yourselves. And there's Cain, building the first city. The cities are never a positive thing, by the way. God's got one city that's a blessing. It's coming down out of heaven, made by God. But all the cities down here, that's where all the debauchery takes place. That's where all the wickedness takes place. I'm not saying there's nice things, a Broadway show when you could do that. I'm not saying that. But you just look statistically, the city, man, is where you get a lot of trouble happening. We see that even today. And this guy's building the first place that would have no room for God. No room for God. Got their buildings, got their industry, got their technology, got their advantages, got their comforts of living, got their creature comforts, all that stuff in that city. But you know what there was nothing in that city for? God. Because he said, I'm running away and I'm running against you, God, and I'm going to build something up, and you didn't want to take my petunias, and you didn't think my squash was hot. Guess what? I'm going to build me a city and I'm going to show you. And that, we know how that worked out. Just ask the folks at the Tower of Babel. Do you have any room for the Lord? Or you're running against him, running away from him? Oh, I'm so busy, Pat. I'm just so busy. Yeah, you are. You are so busy. What we've come to where you got to plead, beg, borrow, and steal to see somebody show up to church for an hour and a half once a week. It's like, I'm glad you're here today, but God says, I gave you my whole life. Could you give me yours? Could you love me? Put me first? All you got is this little dot. All you got is that little dash between two dates. Well, that's all you got. A little dash between two dates. You know what's a good idea? Take that little dash, give it to the Lord, watch what he could do with it. He could do a lot more with it than you can. I think Dale Moody said it. I might be saying it wrong. He said, give God your life. He could do a lot more with it than you can. Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You give God something, he's not going to lose it. He's not going to drop it. He's not going to waste it. He puts your tears in a bottle. They're in his book. He's got them all logged. That's a great God. That's a loving God. That's a gracious God. Finish in 1 John 3. Quick, hurry with me to 1 John 3, please. 1 John 3. I'm hurrying and I'm aware of the time. I'm going to get me to the altar on time. 1 John 3. 1 John 3. 1 John 3. Look at verse 12. Do you want this legacy? 1 John 3, 12. 1 John 3, 12. 1 John 3, 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. Is that what you want to be remembered as? You want Cain's legacy? Somebody who followed the devil? Somebody that followed the wrong way? Somebody that just did wrong and destroyed things out of pride and arrogance and anger and hate? Don't kick against the pricks. Don't kick against the pricks. The choice is yours. Jude 11, to the right a little bit more. Jude, it's got one chapter. Jude verse 11. Jude verse 11. Jude verse 11. The Bible says, Jude 11. The Bible says, woe unto them. They have gone in the way of Cain. You keep following Cain. Woe is you. Woe is you. So my question to you is, when are you going to stop running? When are you going to choose God and stop choosing your own way, which is really the devil's way? The choice is yours. You see, go to Revelation. Let's finish to the right just a little bit. Revelation 20. We'll finish in Revelation. I promise I will finish in Revelation here. Just three verses left. Revelation 20. Can I tell you as we close, what you do in life echoes in eternity? The choices you make now will affect your forever. I'm not fronting. That's the truth. On the authority of God's word, that's the truth. The book that's been proven true every time, that's the truth. If you're wondering about it, speak to me. I'll answer your questions. God says, come now and let us reason together. But in Revelation 20, if you choose, if you're not saved here today, you heard Stephen and others talk about the word saved. Saved is just a word that means you have taken the payment Jesus Christ made for your sins as your payment. You're not trying to bring something you did to God. You're offering back to God what Jesus Christ did. Because you owe a debt. And you either pay for it yourself, like Cain, or you allow an innocent one who shed his blood to pay for it for you. That's salvation. That's why we use the word saved. Now, you're going to meet God one day. Revelation 20:11 says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. You may be running from him like Cain, but one day you will stand before God. If you've rejected God's offering of salvation, this is what's going to happen. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is the destiny of everyone under the sound of my voice if you reject God's offer of salvation. That's your future. It will happen exactly as it goes down. And you know, deep down, payday is coming someday. You know it. Brother George's brother, Felix, he's in a wheelchair. He got hit in a hit-and-run accident. The woman didn't even stop. What cries out in you, inside of you, cries out a desire for justice. That's not right. They need to arrest that person. That's unjust. Guess what? Payday is going to come someday. And justice will be served, and justice will be thorough. Which side of that will you be on? Revelation 21. If you choose to accept God's offer, here's you. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. You can trust them. And if you've staked your soul on the authority of this book, if you've chosen Jesus Christ and the promises of his word, that's what you've got coming. Amen. The choice is yours. Last verse, Revelation 22, verse 12. Revelation 22, verse 12. And here, you may be saved, you may be lost. If you're saved, are you serving? And if you're saved and you choose to serve the Lord and put some things aside and put the Lord first and make that choice on your little dot in light of everything that's eternal, you know God's got something for you too. And it's not just salvation. It's something much better. He says in Revelation 22, 12, he says, Jesus is speaking, behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me. To give every man according as his work shall be. You know what? If you'll submit to Jesus Christ in this little speck of time, you know what he's going to give you? His reward. He says, I'm coming quickly. All this stuff that's the past, it's all going to be the past. And it's just going to be the forever here and now with your Savior ruling and reigning in that great universe he's got out there for you. That's the Bible. That's the choice, child of God, and the choice is yours. And nobody sitting here today is too far gone to make that choice. It's a, you know, God confirmed at 9:50 when I'm sitting there going, Lord, 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 what do you, Lord, what wilt thou have me to say? I'm like a Balaam's donkey. You're going to have to touch my mouth because I don't know what to say. You know what? Mary giving that testimony confirmed in my heart. You're never too far gone. You're never too far gone down the road to choose and make the right choice. And if God is knocking on your heart today and God is speaking to you somehow today out of his word, you can make the right choice. You can choose God's way. Or you could choose to run from the presence of the Lord and go Cain's way. But I don't think you want to do that. The choice is yours. Let's bow our heads.